Tomorrow all the things were gone. I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Boy, how true it is. God bless the USA, Mr. Lee Greenwood. Doctor, I just had to do that. I had a little bit of get back to whatever is normal.
Well, thank you. It's a good way to start a Monday morning.
Well,
start a new week.
I certainly hope so. Dr. Ben Edwards, good friend of ours from Veritas Medical. Always glad to have you in, sir, and start off the Monday as we was talking about. Outside, mostly sunny, 63 degrees out this morning. I guess you had a good drive. Did you get any rain out your place last night?
No, just a little dew. It's kind of wet on the grass, but
we had a good shower at our house yesterday morning, and about 3 o'clock this morning, I guess it was, a pretty good shower came through over by LCU. So,
yeah,
you know, I thank you for it on my lawn, but we don't need it on the crops out there right now.
Yeah.
Wheat, maybe, yeah, but we don't. Anyhow, it's darn if you do and darn if you don't try to be a farmer. And I'm not one, thank goodness for that.
We were going to talk about inflammation a little bit, but I think one of the things that causes it is stress, and being a farmer is one of the most stressful things
if they don't
I think
have,
around here.
I'll tell you, you got to be pretty doggone tough. But, you know, they love it. It's that's what it's all
it's
about.
It's in their blood.
It's in their blood. It's work. But they all they want to do is produce, and if the government would work with them and let them give them a fair share, everybody hates that word, but it's the truth. You know, we'd still have the finest, safest food supply in the world, and the cheapest. So, you know, anyhow. Hey, we're going to get into, I know you and Wade been talking about inflammation, and that I've been able to catch the show the last couple of weeks, bits and pieces back here in the office. But I ask you if we could do just 5 minutes on CPAP, because I firmly believe in CPAP since February. I fought it for years, Doctor, as I've told you. In the past, I fought it for years. I was a lot smarter than most doctors, and, you know, I didn't think I needed it. But after several little problems from about May to February, pardon me, I'm on it. And it's the best thing I ever did in my life, and I just, from listening to you and other people, a lot more folks need to be on it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's probably one of the most underdiagnosed problems out there is obstructive sleep apnea is what we're talking about. And that's where the airway just gets obstructed, where it gets narrowed from, a big soda straw down to a tiny little stir straw. I mean, the diameter of your airway just gets narrowed down for various reasons. So you can't get enough air in at night when you're asleep. Those airways collapse. So CPAP stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure. CPAP, mm-hmm. And it's just a machine that you have by your bedside. It's usually about the size of a shoebox, or
yep.
even smaller
even
now.
Smaller
I think
now.
There's some, and it hooks this tube runs to your face, and you can either have a mask that goes over your mouth and nose, or just your nose. And there's lots of new technologies out there that make it a lot more comfortable and usable and doable. But you get pressurized air, so it kind of pops that airway back open. And that's all it is. You're just getting a bigger diameter in your airway again. Mm-hmm. So you get more air, more oxygen into your lung all night, and that's a good thing. Because when you have diminished oxygen levels all night long because of the compromised airway, then that puts a big stress on the body. Your cardiovascular system, you know, has to work a lot harder to move around what oxygen you do get into the lung. It has to move it around the body, and it has to work harder. So you get, over time, we'll get congestive heart failure, high blood pressure. You'll wake up with headaches. You just have increased inflammation that we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
So a number of downstream effects from not having enough oxygen in your body all night long. And a lot of people don't even realize this, but if you're your spouse is snoring and then they stop breathing for a few seconds, or you startle yourself awake, gasping for air, all those are signs of sleep apnea.
That was me. I believe we have a caller. Let's go out the phone. Good morning, caller. Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, I was wondering if you could help me.
Do you have we're on the radio. Do you have a question for the doctor?
No. That's fine. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Have a great day, sir. Bye-bye. Back to what we're talking about. It's so funny, doctor, because I'm on it, as I said. But now I usually get up around 6:30 every morning, normal, even on the weekends. Well, a lot of times I'll wake up about 5, and I say, well, I got another hour and a half. So I take it off and just, you know, I just lay here. My wife has told me, no more of that. You leave that on until you get out of bed. So me and the puppy can still stay asleep. Because she just means you take that off, you go right back snoring. Well, I guess I had in my mind that maybe that was kind of curing it.
Right.
But undoubtedly, that don't cure it. Not a cure.
It doesn't cure it. It's like most other treatments we do in conventional medicine in America. We don't cure stuff. We manage it, or we treat it. Absolutely. And management is better than doing nothing. You know, I always give that example of my wife's tire that had a slow leak in it. And, you know, every 5 days or so, I'd run by the filling station, fill it up with air.
Yep.
And we were managing that problem by going to the filling station every, you know, 5 days. And doing that was better than doing nothing, than driving around on a flat tire all the time. But you could opt to just fix it, you know, fix that hole in the tire. And kind of the same way with almost every chronic disease in the Western medical mindset, we manage stuff. So CPAP is a very good management tool for sleep apnea. And when you can pop those airways open and get good oxygen in, it's very, very beneficial. Most people have more energy. They get a deeper sleep, and when you're in a deep sleep, your body can detoxify better. Most people don't realize it. All night long is when you detoxify. All day long, there's stressors. I mean, just being alive, your body has to take in oxygen, take in glucose, I'm talking inside the cell, to make energy, ATP. That's a process that creates free radicals, and that free radicals causes damage. So just your normal, just like in your vehicle when you burn your fuel, to create energy for you to drive, you know, there's exhaust. You've always got byproducts of energy production, and in the body, your byproducts of energy production can cause damage to your tissues. And at night is when your growth hormone kicks in and other repair hormones, and you detoxify a lot of these exhaust products. So if you're not getting a deep sleep, then you're not detoxifying well and you're not repairing your damaged tissue. That's everything from damaged DNA to damaged cell membranes to just, you know, all your cells. So sleep is very, very important for a number of reasons. And a deep sleep, you got to get into that stage 3, stage 4 sleep, that deep REM sleep. And sleep apnea prevents that. Even though you think you're asleep and, you know, your doctor asks you, do you sleep good? And you think, yeah, I sleep all night. Mm-hmm. But when you do a sleep study, it shows that, wow, you really woke up, you know, 200 times. Now, you didn't know you woke up, but your brain activity, you stayed in that very light sleep, or you kept popping out of deep sleep
and
multiple times.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's one of the problems a lot of folks have, the sleep study. And I fought it. Mm-hmm. Until I finally made up my mind.
Yep.
Well, that is the easiest thing, probably one of the easiest things ever. I mean, I've stayed in a lot worse motel rooms, you know, and it was a very simple. And as you said, when I got up that morning, he said, yeah, you need this. And he showed me how many times I woke up, and I think it was somewhere in the range of 200 times. Yep. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. I had a patient one time, I think it was just in the first hour, it was in the multiple hundreds of times, and they had to interrupt the sleep study and went ahead and put him on the CPAP right there in the middle of the sleep study because it was so bad. But, yeah, the sleep labs here are really good. It's basically like a hotel room. You go go in the evening, spend the night, and they hook you up to some stuff to measure your brain wave activity, measure your breathing, your heart rate, your oxygen level, and you'll see the oxygen level dropping out all through the night, and you'll see these pauses in your breathing for multiple seconds at a time. So you get a lot of good information, a lot of data from that report.
And, you know, they make it very simple for you to come in, or you keep your own schedule.
Yep.
You come in a certain time, but if you don't let them watch TV until you go to, that's what they want you to do.
Right, yeah, your normal pattern.
Normal pattern.
And then go to sleep, and they watch you and monitor all this stuff, and then they put the CPAP on you, and they titrate it up to the pressure that you need. Some people need a little bit of pressure to open their airway. Some people need a little more pressure to open that airway. So you got to figure that part out. But then once you have your setting, you have your number, then you go to one of the many good quality durable medical equipment companies in town and get you a CPAP machine.
And, you know, and insurance will pay for it if you've got insurance most of the time.
Yep.
Now, I think you explained to me something like about that. Insurance, we had insurance, so I took the sleep study. But they, you're telling me now they have a home study that a lot of them can do.
Yeah, these CPAP machines basically can do this study on their own at home. Now, I'm not real up to date with which insurance companies or if Medicare or Medicaid will cover the home study or not. I've been out of the insurance business for 4 years since I left Post, so I'm not up to date. But typically they're wanting to do anything to save money, and a home sleep study, I think, would be cheaper than going to the hotel to do it or the you know, sleep center to do it. But I'm not for sure on that. You'd have to ask your insurance
company. Well, as you said, that CPAP machine can tell you right quick. Yeah. I had to take my study back after 30 days since it was an insurance claim. Took it back, and she put it in the machine, and less than 30 seconds, there it was, and she told me exactly how many days, you know, I was on it 30 days. She started that out from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I told you, the fifth day, I threw it plumb across the room, said, I'm through. Well,
right.
Wife talked me into it, and I went back, and she said, it shows exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, you ain't gonna, and they say they have people try to fake that study, they put sock in or something to make, you know.
You can't fake that thing. Those machines have a smart card. The machine at home, the CPAP machine you have at home, has a smart card, and it keeps track of all the data, so they can download off that smart card and tell you how many days you wore it, how many minutes you wore it, what your sleep quality was like.
You can't hide from the government, can you?
No, you can't. Big Brother's always watching you. But in this case, it's a beneficial thing. And it can take a few days to get used to that machine and that mask. So, you know, talk with your company that is issuing the machine, and they've got lots of different techniques and helpful hints to get you through that transition. But once you get used to it, then it's just...
You won't leave home without it.
I have patients that, they even if they're going out of town, they take it with them. If they're going for one night at the hotel, they're taking it with them because they just sleep like a baby when they wear that thing.
And the doctors tell you to bring it to the hospital when you go to the hospital. I never never heard of that until you told me that.
Yep. And this, I mean, again, it goes back to give the body what it needs, avoid what it doesn't. And oxygen, obviously, is a very important molecule that the body needs. So in functional medicine, we're relying on the body to fix itself, and it can't fix itself if it doesn't have one of the key components of oxygen. I already talked about what the body does to detoxify and repair itself in the nighttime, and oxygen is a key component of that. And when you don't have it, it will result in downstream inflammation. There's many different things that drive inflammation, and lack of oxygen is one of those things. But kind of that'll transition us into what I really want to talk about today, which is inflammation. And I'll tell people all the time, you know, when I'm giving a talk somewhere, I give them homework. I tell them, go home tonight and just get on your computer and do an internet search on Google or whatever you like to use, and type in the name of your disease or symptom. You know, if you get migraine headaches, or you have arthritis, or you have irritable bowel syndrome, or ulcerative colitis, or coronary artery disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, depression, autism, whatever it is. Go home, type in the name of that disease or problem or symptom, and then type in inflammation and hit enter. And you'll see...
Type in inflammation after the...
Inflammation plus
after arthritis,
your
type
disease.
In inflammation.
Yeah. And you'll see a huge number of hits on every disease plus inflammation. And because we now know inflammation's the common denominator in the Western world. And when I say Western world, it's very... you know, clear now that America in particular, and when we export our culture and our diet to other countries, then they start to follow our pattern too. But the American standard American diet and lifestyle is correlated with all these different diseases of inflammation. You know, a great example is the Pima Indians. I always talk about a Native American group in Arizona, and they've got before World War II, zero cases of type 2 diabetes were ever reported in that tribe. And now they're at 50%. Half their tribe has type 2 diabetes. And we're talking 60 years or so. That's not enough time for their genetics to mutate.
No.
So it's not a gene mutation deal, which we're so, you know, people want to blame everything on our genes. But it's the diet and the lifestyle. And, you know, I gave a lecture the other day. I was researching and looked up. I'm going to pull the study here. Where the top two killers in America, which are heart disease and cancer, and this article was talking about how the 90%, let me pull it real quick, 90% of all cancers, this was from Pharmaceutical Research, 2008, September of 2008. Cancer is a preventable disease that requires major lifestyle changes is the name of the article, July 30th, 2008. So I'll just quote it here. Only 5 to 10% of all cancer cases can be attributed to genetic defects. You know, we're just 5%. The remaining 90 to 95% have their roots in environment and lifestyle. So that was one article. The next article I pulled, the title of this article, Healthy Lifestyle May Prevent 80% of Heart Attacks. So this was in September of 2014. And this study basically showed that 80% of all cardiovascular disease was diet and lifestyle related. So there's your top two killers, cardiovascular disease and cancer. Yes. And we're saying 95% of the cancer and 80% is directly correlated to diet and lifestyle. But the funny thing is, our treatments for those two things are not in any real way related to diet and lifestyle. Now your doctor will throw out you need to exercise more and eat less or something like that. Yeah. Eat low fat. I mean, our dietary advice isn't very good or very strong, and the doctors aren't very thorough with it, and that's because they're not taught in medical school anything about it. But going back to inflammation, you can do the same thing. You know, type in cancer, type in cardiovascular disease and inflammation. You know, I was doing that this morning. Alzheimer's, I typed that in. There's a lot of good articles on Alzheimer's, but there was one just last week that came out on depression, and it showed that new research, the title of this article, new research discovers that depression is an allergic reaction to inflammation. And this was out of the journal Nova. And basically, it says, inflammation is our immune system's natural response to injuries, infections, or foreign compounds. And when this cascade of inflammation is triggered by an injury, infection, or foreign compound, the body pumps various cells and proteins to a site, and then through the bloodstream, all these cytokines is what it's talking about, gets pumped out. And that's what triggers the inflammatory cascade, and specifically in the brain, will result in symptoms of depression or anxiety. And over the long haul, if you continue inflammation, it'll be memory loss, dementia. I just can't stress enough the link between inflammation and everything, every Western disease. So, most people take that and say, oh, okay, let's take some anti-inflammatories. And in fact, there's studies that show anti-inflammatories improve your cardiovascular disease risk. Anti-inflammatories improve cancer risk. Anti-inflammatories even improve depression symptoms. You know, Lipitor and the statins, which is a real controversial topic because so much study has come out recently showing the negative effects of the statins, which I'm not going to make this a statin show. We'll do that maybe next week. But there's very, very minimal and limited benefit to the statins. Despite what the drug companies go and tell all the doctors every Friday at their lunch, drug company lunch at the doctor's office, when you look at the studies, all the studies, not just the drug company published studies, and you look at them unbiasedly, there's very, very modest benefit to taking a statin. We're talking like a 1% reduced risk of another heart attack or stroke. And the benefit really seems limited to men who are smokers who have had a heart attack. But it appears also that very limited benefit is because the statins have some anti-inflammatory property to them. The same thing with the antidepressants. The SSRIs have an anti-inflammatory effect to them. So SSRIs like Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin, Lexapro, these have a very limited benefit also, the studies show. But what benefit they have appears to be related to the anti-inflammatory effect. So just taking anti-inflammatories, either natural or pharmaceutical, is one approach. And that kind of, you know, I tell people that's like using a lot of squirt water guns on the fire. Mm-hmm. You know, that'll have some beneficial effect. Mm-hmm. But even better is turn off the gas that's feeding the fire. Yeah. But the reason why these plant-based diets, which meat's fine too, but when there's so much benefit of vegetables, and especially a wide variety of color of vegetables, is because there are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of chemicals God put into the plants. And when we eat these plants, we get the benefit of those chemicals, and the chemicals happen to be very anti-inflammatory. So just like I was talking about earlier, when you produce energy, whether it be in your vehicle or in your cells, there's byproducts of energy production. And in the body, these byproducts are called free oxygen species, or free radicals. And so these anti-inflammatory compounds that are in the plants are like squirt water guns on those free radicals. They'll squelch that inflammation. So you're producing free radicals all the time just by breathing and being alive and producing energy. And your body can quench that that fire if it has enough of these squirt water guns in its pantry. And so you get it from the food. You get it from the dark vegetables and berries, you know, the dark purples and deep reds and oranges and the dark greens. That's where you really get the phytonutrients, the phytochemicals that help put out the fire of inflammation. So we always recommend lots of fresh vegetables, fruit, but in moderation because of the sugar content of most hybridized fruit these days. But the dark berries are really the way to go.
How about dark cherries?
Yep, dark cherries, blueberries, raspberries, strawberries. People look at raisins and think those are dark, but really those are from grapes.
Grapes.
And most of them are the lighter grapes. Mm-hmm. Curants are better, C-U-R-A-N-T-S. A lot of people haven't heard of those, but they have a less of a sugar content than raisins, so I prefer those. But, yeah, anything dark is really good.
Okay.
And the skin, like apples, the skin tends to have lots of good anti-inflammatory, antioxidant chemicals in it, too, and so do the seeds. A lot of great-grandmas used to say, eat that whole apple.
Eat the whole apple.
Even the seed. The seed contains lots of beneficial nutrients. And if you think about a seed, I mean, everything, we've got Veritas Gardens outside our clinic. We've got a garden going. We had a bunch of watermelons this summer. And from one watermelon, you get 500 seeds. From one good big watermelon, mm-hmm. you can get 500 seeds. And you think about that. I mean, there's enough nutrients and information in one little seed that'll grow, another pumpkin.
So we should eat the watermelon seeds.
The seeds have a lot of nutrients in them, a lot of good nutrients. And when you sprout the seeds, too, a lot of beneficial nutrients in the sprouts. I mean, again, if you think about that, all the nutrients that initial plant needs to grow and thrive, you get it from the soil too once the roots are well established, mm-hmm. but initially you need all those nutrients coming out of the seed, so there's lots of beneficial things in a seed. So we've talked about, and I don't know if we need to take a break, this would be a good break time, but inflammation, I think we've established there's a link between every disease and inflammation, and you can take some anti-inflammatory pills or supplements or food, and that's okay and beneficial, but I really want to talk about how do you fix the flat tire instead of just putting a patch, airing it up every 5 days, or how do you reverse the sleep apnea instead of the CPAP? How do you prevent the inflammation from even coming, or why is it coming? What's triggering it? I talked about just producing energy causes some inflammation, and you're always going to have that, but it is excessive inflammation from other sources too that we really need to focus on and really need to try to prevent.
Did you want to take a break right now, Doctor? We certainly can.
Okay, yeah, if it's a good time for
you. Anytime's a good time, me, whatever. Right now, we're at 30 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock here at AM 580 on a beautiful 63-degree Monday morning. We'll be right back.
We're visiting with Dr. Flippin with Exodus New Beginnings. You can always check out the website, exodusnb.com. Go there, check it out. Dr. Flippin, glad to have you on the show today. Tell us a little bit about supportive cancer care.
Well, basically, we just support the patient's immune system, and we do this with several different modalities. We use oxygen in the form of O3, so instead of two molecules of oxygen, we electrically force another molecule in. That's a potent anti-inflammatory. It also causes the patient to secrete tumor necrosis factor, mm-hmm. so that helps kill the cancer cells. We also use high-dose vitamin C, which is a potent antioxidant, and also it has some anti-cancer properties. And then finally, we use high-dose vitamin B, different vitamin Bs, and those support the patient's immune system so that basically what happens is the patient's own immune system can fight the cancer a lot better.
And this is done intravenously, right?
Right.
Okay, and so the patient comes in, relaxed atmosphere, gets a full rundown of what's going to happen. Of course, there's some diagnosis that goes on in the first phase of this, but fully understanding, you know, what's going on, and then treatment takes place after that, right?
That's correct.
It's very, very interesting, and had a lot of success with this, I hear.
Yes, very, very successful. We have a patient that has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, expected to live 6 weeks, diagnosed in November, who's still going to work every day and feeling great.
Be sure to visit the new location at 7711 Woodrow Road. That's 7711 Woodrow Road, or call 863-3903. That's 863-3903. You can always visit the website, exodusnb.com.
Listen to your body. It may be telling you it's missing something. When we're missing omega-3s, we can feel run down, stiff, achy, or have a hard time focusing and handling stress. Omega-3s are vastly deficient in the American food supply, and we can't achieve optimal health without them. Nordic Naturals fish oils provide a convenient way to get the omega-3s you need and deliver industry-leading purity, freshness, and taste. Visit Natural Health Market at 4414 82nd Street in the Village Shopping Center.
Are you experiencing low back pain, neck pain, headaches, or pain as a result of an injury? Then let me introduce you to my chiropractor, Dr. Carla Haddock. Dr. Haddock has been practicing chiropractic care for many years, specializing in diversified treatment, drop table, cold laser therapy, and acupuncture. No expensive treatment plans, and your initial exam is free. If you're looking to improve your health and experience a pain-free lifestyle, then call Dr. Haddock at 239-7190. That's 239-7190. Call for your free initial exam today. Haddock Chiropractic is a proud sponsor of the morning health show, You're the Cure, with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, every Monday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on AM 580 Radio. Haddock Chiropractic, 239-7190.
Vitamins Plus is a full-line health food store located inside Drug Emporium on the corner of 82nd Slide Road. Right now, we have a very large selection of natural cold, flu, and allergy remedies. It's that time of year to build up your immunity to help you fight off this year's bugs. If we don't have it in stock, what you're looking for, then we can special order it. Texas owned and operated for over 20 years. Good for you groceries at great for you prices. That's Vitamins Plus inside Drug Emporium, 82nd and Slide Road. Get by and see us today.
Welcome back, everybody. 36 minutes right now past the hour, 9 o'clock, 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Outside, mostly sunny, still setting at 61 degrees, headed for a high of 82. And our good friend, Dr. Ben Edwards, Veritas Medical, in with us today. And I love listening to this show, and I say when I'm not on the air and sitting back here trying to listen to it bits and pieces. But, boy, just sitting, and I know Tim sitting over taking it all in. This is a very, very interesting, Dr. Edwards. And,
Well,
I just always think about my ancestors that were older than always so healthy and, you know, lifestyle, eating our whatever they planted they eat right. and how healthy they were.
Yep.
And then, you know.
Yep, all this new American disease, I mean, if our listeners could see these graphs that I show at my talks, I mean, the rates of disease, any of them, whether it's cancer or heart disease or obesity and diabetes and autoimmune disease, autism, I mean, when you graph it out on the chart, you know, from 1950 or 1900 even until now, I mean, it's just been an exponential rise in the past 40 or 50 years. So Weston A. Price was a dentist back around 1920. He started noticing this trend that early, that there are starting to be more heart attacks, more cancer, more high blood pressure, more cavities. So he and his wife decided to go sail around the world and study healthy people groups that were still healthy, that weren't getting more heart attack, more mm-hmm. high blood pressure, more cancer, because the Americans were starting to get more. So he went and lived with these native populations all over the globe, in Africa, in the Orient, and South America, everywhere. And he published a book, and it's just full of data. It's called, the book is called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. But basically, you know, 100 years ago, he showed the link between when you start changing your diet to a processed grain and sugar-based diet, mm-hmm. And the link from that and disease. So we've known this for 100 years. And even, you know, there's a guy over 100 years ago, Epstein was his name. He was a physician, I think in 1876 is what I read. And he gave sodium salicylate, which is a type of anti-inflammatory similar to aspirin. And he would give that to patients with type 2 diabetes, and the type 2 diabetes would totally disappear. You know, sodium salicylate and all those anti-inflammatories have side effects, mostly in the GI tract, can cause your gut to bleed, cause an ulcer. So they quit using that. But the point of that was an anti-inflammatory reversed the diabetes. And it just, you know, gives more evidence to what I'm talking about, inflammation being the root cause of diabetes and everything else too. But there was another study that showed they would take some inflammatory proteins called cytokines. This is what your immune system produces mm-hmm. to fight germs or toxins. Well, they would take these inflammatory cytokines and inject them into normal, healthy mice, and it would induce the insulin resistance. Just the inflammatory chemicals caused insulin resistance, which is the initial step of type 2 diabetes. So there's just tons of evidence that shows type 2 diabetes is from insulin resistance, which is from inflammation. But again, where does this inflammation come from? Part of it comes from the fat cells themselves. The fat cells can produce hormones and chemicals that drive inflammation. There's one particular inflammatory chemical called TNF-alpha. It's a cytokine. And it has been shown to directly cause insulin resistance. Other inflammatory proteins, C-reactive protein, MCP1, these have also been shown to cause insulin resistance. But once you get this cascade of inflammation going, it's just kind of a snowball going down the hill. It's hard to stop. When you have insulin resistance, it causes you to store more fat. You store more fat, the fat cells make more inflammatory compounds, and it's just a vicious cycle. So one other effect of the inflammation in the brain, though, is leptin resistance. Leptin's the hormone that tells you you're full, quit eating, and it also tells your body to burn fat. So if you're resistant to that hormone, it means you're not hearing. Your brain can't hear that hormone. So you're never going to hear that you're full, and you're never going to burn fat. So inflammation is what causes leptin resistance. So again, just cascade effect.
We do have a caller if you want to take a call.
Okay, sure.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. What are your thoughts on, I had a couple of things. Okay, so I tried to cut sugar down, and I got on Stevia or anything like that. And then I read stuff about that. And I think, well, which is worse? Just try to cut down my regular sugar if I can't completely seem to get off of it? Is Stevia and all that stuff bad for you?
Well, you're right to be getting off sugar, or at least reducing your sugar. That's the big thing. Our great-grandparents ate sugar. Number one, it was pure cane sugar, not from some other source, and most of our sugars today aren't pure cane sugar. So they would eat it. It was just not very often. And so limiting it's the way to go. Now, Truvia is stevia-based. Stevia is an herb, a plant, that happens to be very sweet, and that's good. I mean, stevia, I recommend. Truvia also has erythritol in it, and that's a sugar alcohol. And sugar alcohol, xylitol is another sugar alcohol, but anything that ends in OL, erythritol, xylitol, those are sugar alcohols, can cause some disturbance in your GI tract, particularly bloating or gas. And it's because these sugar alcohols are not absorbed. They don't cross from your intestinal tract into the bloodstream. But they do stay in your gut and can induce some bloating and gas. And in some people, or diarrhea. And in some people, this is, you know, significant. So it's very bothersome.
Well, I felt like my tongue was just saturated. Like my coffee in the morning, I use Truvia. And, you know, if I'm going to use sugar, I would use that. And then my tongue just felt saturated.
Well,
I was using it like I want to use sugar.
Right. Well, you may try just straight stevia without the erythritol in it, which you can get stevia in the raw, or, I mean, there's lots of different brands of stevia, but just flip the package over and look on the back at the ingredients and make sure it says just stevia or stevia extract.
Okay, yeah, I think I've seen that.
You can try that. Okay. Or try coconut sugar. That's another good alternative. That
seems like a head. I can't remember.
Well, most people that make the sugar substitute, you know, try some other things, have trouble because their sweet tooth or their tongue is, their taste buds are so used to that sugar. In some patients, I'll have them do a 30-day fast off of all sweeteners, and that'll get their taste buds to change, and then just a little bit of coconut sugar or stevia, or there's one called Just Like Sugar, and it's ground up chicory root. Then they're able to do those because their taste buds have changed. So that's another thought.
I see. Well, on the vegetables, only thing I can think of, see, to me, like, corn is sugar, carrots is sugar, potatoes are sugar. Let's see, what else? Well, you could eat squash, you could eat, I don't know. To me, I think about vegetables and I think about sugar. I mean, because it turns to sugar. So you could eat lots of vegetables. Well, you could do broccoli, squash, and I can't think of that.
Cauliflower is good.
Yeah, really.
Cauliflower.
Think of things that would go into a salad. So tomatoes and cucumbers and lettuce and all the different kinds of sprouts and broccoli and cauliflower and mushrooms and if you can get the original carrot, which is a purple carrot, the glycemic load. Last week we talked about glycemic index, and you can type in whatever food you're eating and glycemic index. And the purple carrot glycemic index is a lot lower than the orange carrot. But I'd rather you have an orange carrot. You know, yeah, it has some sugar in it, a natural sugar in it, and it does have a little bit of a glycemic index, but a little bit of carrot over as opposed to your corn or white potato. The corn and white potato glycemic index is a whole lot higher. They turn into sugar, raise your blood sugar very rapidly. So on the glycemic index, when you type it in, you want to try to keep it around 55 or below. And your purple carrots will be there, but your orange ones are a little over that. But really just go up and down that, you know, go to Market Street or wherever and go up and down all through that produce, and you'll see all kinds of vegetables, you know, avocados and celery. And, there's things.
I don't like avocados.
What's that?
I don't like avocados or cauliflower.
Well, it sounds like you might be a little bit of a picky eater.
You haven't been hungry in a long time.
Well, I'm allergic to potatoes, which is good. I'm allergic to black-eyed peas, pears, apples.
Oh, mercy me. Black-eyed peas?
Well,
black-eyed peas is carbs. That's just pure sugar too.
Well, they're carb, what you're saying, pure sugar. So carb, you know, you're talking potatoes and the root vegetables, really, you know, parsnips and carrots and potatoes. There's a carb load to that, and the body will break carbs down into glucose or sugar. Now, some of that's okay, especially depending on where you're at in your disease process. I mean, some of our really diseased patients, we have to keep their carbs at 20 or 30 grams of carb a day. That's super low, but they're still getting some. And those plant-based carbs are a whole lot better than a processed grain or sugar-based carb. But, I mean, we may spend a little time, too, talking about these food allergies, because so many people react to foods or they're allergic to foods and they develop these allergies, you know, throughout their life. You know, a person the other day.
Well, they say I'm allergic to green beans, too.
Right. Well, it's incompatible with life to be allergic to all these foods that you're listing. I mean, you're not naturally just allergic to them. Something happened that caused your body to start reacting to these. And the part of your body that's reacting to these different proteins in the foods is your immune system. Your immune system is what secretes all the chemicals that gives you the rash or the swelling of your tongue or lips or throat, whatever your allergic response is. Those are the cytokines. Those are the chemicals from your immune system being released. So why is your immune system reacting to the proteins that make up a green bean or a black-eyed pea or all the different things? So there's something that's causing your immune system to say, hey, that black-eyed pea is a foreigner. Well, the thing that's happening most likely is you've got leaky gut, and that's kind of slang. The medical term is a hyperpermeable intestinal wall. But that intestinal lining, if you think about it, from your mouth down your food pipe to your stomach to your small intestine down to your large intestine and then out to the toilet, that's just one long water hose. And the inside of that water hose, the inside of your gut, of your intestine, is really the outside world still. So the lining of that water hose, the lining of your gut, should be impermeable. There should be no way anything can leak through that into your bloodstream, just like your skin. I mean, the skin is the primary barrier to all the germs and dust and dirt blowing around, and that keeps all that junk from getting into your bloodstream. Well, on the inside of you, you can think of that lining of skin all the way down from your mouth to your anus, and it should not be, there should be no way for anything to penetrate through that. And what's happening with you is little partially digested particles of these foods have gotten through, and your immune system doesn't recognize them. Because what should happen is you start chewing that black-eyed pea. First of all, your amylase, that's this enzyme in your saliva, starts to break that down. And then you swallow it, gets to your stomach acid. Your stomach acid breaks that down even more. Think of it like a pearl necklace, and you've got to chop every single connection between every single pearl. And your body, and usually it's low stomach acid in most of my patients, the stomach acid, your gallbladder enzymes, your pancreatic enzymes, and then all the bacteria that line your bowel wall secrete enzymes. Enzymes are chemicals that break apart that pearl necklace. They snip every single connection to get you down to single pearls. So you're missing something along that pathway where you're not breaking down all these different food particles into the tiniest little single pearls that they're supposed to be broken down into. So that's number one. You've got food down in your gut that's not fully broken down because you're missing some stomach acid or enzyme along the way. But then number two, something happened along your intestinal wall that caused your tight junctions, we call them. The cells that line your intestinal wall are glued together in a what we call a tight junction. So they're touching, kind of like the mortar in between the bricks on your home. Nothing can get through that brick wall, but imagine the mortar being absent, and now there's gaps in between your bricks. That's what's happening. When your tight junctions in your gut are opened up, stuff is able to pass through that lining, and just on the other side of your brick wall that doesn't have the mortar is 80% of your immune system cells sit there. Your immune system is primarily located in your gut, and the reason God put it there is for this exact reason I'm describing. When things are coming from the outside world into you, that's primarily through your gut, your immune system's there just in case there's a breach in your wall. It can be there to kind of clean up the mess. But when there's multiple breaches, you're missing a whole lot of mortar and you're having a whole lot of different things leak through, the immune system doesn't recognize it. I mean, it would recognize a single pearl if you had chopped all that food up appropriately to the single pearls. But if you have two or three or four pearls of that pearl necklace still connected and they didn't get chopped all the way up, the body doesn't recognize that. And it says, whoa, wait a minute, that's a foreigner. I don't know what you are, but I'm going to make a I'm going to respond to you. I'm going to make antibodies to you. I'm going to release all these inflammatory chemicals because I don't recognize you. I don't know if you're a polio virus or if you're, you know, the HIV virus or you're something foreign. I don't recognize you. And when 80% of your immune system sits in the gut and you've got leaky gut and you've got all these different food particles coming across, it's going to start reacting to them. So we see that all the time in our patients, in our clinic. That's one of the key causes of inflammation we've been talking about on the show today. You know, you can take anti-inflammatory stuff or you can just fix the leaky tire that I was talking about earlier.
It's so, kind of like I've got a hole in my tire instead of just leaking.
Yeah, basically you've got to put the mortar. You got to get the mortar all reconstituted and put between those bricks. So you got to close those tight junctions back up. And that's what most functional medicine doctors recognize, that all inflammation starts in the gut. Hippocrates said it 2,000 years ago, and then we ignored him, tried to treat everything with pharmaceuticals. It doesn't work. We stay sick, and we spend a whole lot of money, and we die younger than any other industrialized country because no one's fixing the gut except for functional medicine docs. So that's what we specialize in, heal the leaky gut.
So without taking up the whole show, where can I get this mortar that I need?
Well, that's the beauty of it. You've got a God built in a mortar production facility right down in your gut. You just have to give it what it needs. There are ways to kind of speed up that process, speed up your mortar production. The cells that line your gut naturally slough off every 4 days and you make a whole new gut lining. So if it has the raw materials that it needs, then it'll just do it automatically for you. So L-glutamine is one of those raw materials, and there's some different leaky gut powders. That, you make a shake out of these powders. So Dr. Axe, A-X-E, he's got a really good one, leaky gut. I forget the brand name he puts on it, but just Google Dr. Axe leaky gut shake, and it has a lot of L-glutamine in it. Got some aloe vera in it, licorice root, I think, a couple other products that are very healing to the gut, but L-glutamine is the big thing. The GAPS diet, GAPS, G-A-P-S, diet.com. It's a particular food-based diet, doesn't really use supplements, but it will heal leaky gut. Now, she uses a whole lot of bone broth. Now, this is homemade bone broth where you get the bones yourself, either from a chicken or a beef or whatever bone you want to use. Most people use chicken. And you make a broth out of it. You put it on the stove, fill your pot with water, put some salt in it, some garlic, onion, whatever you want. But the bones are the key. It's the collagen that's in that bony tissue and the tendons and stuff that get released into the broth, and then you drink that broth every day. But her diet's very particular for healing leaky gut.
Would you say that name was a glutamine? How do you spell that?
L-glutamine. So the letter L and then dash. Glutamine, G-L-U-T-A-M-I-N-E, L-glutamine. Collagen's another one. You can get collagen supplements at the health food store also for leaky gut if you can't make the bone broth or don't want to make the bone broth. But those are two products that are good. And, I mean, we do have people avoid the foods that they're reacting to for a time period, for 30 days or 60 days, avoid the black-eyed peas or whatever foods you react to. But over time, once the gut's healed, then people are able to consume those foods again.
Appreciate that call, and we're going to have to let you go.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that call very much.
Bye-bye.
Another good thing to heal leaky gut is just probiotics. You get all those bacteria back down in there, and it's the bacteria that really secrete the enzymes to break the food down. There's 20,000 different enzymes we need to break our food down, and the human body can make about 18 of those.
So you recommend probiotic?
Yeah. The bacteria in the gut make the other 19,980 or whatever it is, enzymes. So you've got to support your microbiome. You've got to have the healthy probiotic flora. So fermented foods are a good way to get that, or just a good probiotic supplement. And when I say good, I mean it needs to have more than 7 or 8 different kinds of bacteria. And it needs to have, all told, 100 billion bacteria in it, but different... it's got to have the 8 strains or more, different species.
Does organic vinegar work?
Vinegar helps to break some of that food down, stimulate that stomach acid, and break some of those proteins down. So people that use apple cider vinegar, for instance.
With mother in it?
Yeah, water. With the mother. When you get the organic and the raw with the mother in it, that has the probiotic flora in it too, and that's good.
Is that? I mean, yep. You see so much of that and hear so much about it, and I've been told about it.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
You know, sauerkraut that's not been pasteurized, so that would be sauerkraut that's in the refrigerated section, is another good source of probiotics. Kimchi is another one. And a lot of these you can make at home. Most people aren't that industrious anymore. Everybody used to make.
Used to make their own butter, everything else,
yeah. including fermented foods.
No, I really don't want to go back to those days, exactly,
well,
Doctor.
I mean, I don't either. I mean, if I had the time, I'd love to, but that's I don't have the grace for that, the time or the grace for that, so I go to natural grocers
and get what you want.
There's people that are good at making that, so I let them do what they're good at. I do what I'm good at.
You do what you're good at, and we'll all do
it. We help each other out.
There you have it.
But getting back to what's the root cause of inflammation, we were talking earlier in the show, everything, all these diseases come from inflammation, but that's one of the biggest causes right there, leaky gut.
When
you've got... You don't have the stomach acid, the gallbladder and pancreatic enzymes, and the probiotic enzymes. You're not breaking your food down, and that drives the inflammatory process. When you kill all your good gut bacteria and you kill that off with antibiotics, antibiotics from your doctor, but antibiotics that are in the beef or dairy or chicken or pork products that are commercialized and have antibiotics in them. Chlorinated water kills your gut flora off. Artificial sugars. I don't recommend artificial sweeteners like Splenda and aspartame or NutraSweet. Those kill your gut flora. Splenda in particular kills 50% of your gut flora. Birth control pills kill your gut flora. Number of things kill our gut flora. So most people, their gut bacteria have been highly compromised, and then their stomach acid production is compromised because of the same thing. High sugar diets cut your stomach acid production. Stress will cut your stomach acid production. So a number of things that lead to the leaky gut. So that's probably the number one driver of inflammation. That's why we see with the Pima Indians and really all of us that live in America, when you look at the statistics over the last 50 years since World War II, all our disease rates going up so much. That's the common denominator, is our diet changed radically.
Leaky gut.
And leaky gut's the number one issue there. Another thing that'll drive the inflammation, and if you just think about this in simple terms, your immune system's turned on, causing the inflammation. So what turns on an immune system? Germs. I mean, everybody knows that. You get the flu bug in your nose, you're going to get, you know, snotty and fever, and you get the flu symptoms. But really all those symptoms are coming from that release of cytokines, release of inflammatory chemicals. That's why you take antihistamines, anti-inflammatory, everything to treat those chemicals so your symptoms will get better. But germs trigger your immune system. So there's chronic viruses that can get inside your body and trigger the immune system. There's bugs from your gut. Candida, which is a type of fungus, can leak across into the body and trigger your immune system to turn on. Different bacteria can do it. In the 1940s, there was a Dr. Brown who aspirated the joint of rheumatoid arthritis patients, which means he stuck a needle in the joint, and he sucked out the fluid. And what he saw under the microscope was mycoplasm. That's a type of germ. And so he treated that mycoplasm germ with tetracycline, an antibiotic to kill mycoplasm, and the arthritic symptoms went away. See, if you can kill or remove the trigger that's causing your immune system to turn on and fight, you can remove that trigger. The immune system naturally turns itself off.
Turns it on.
You get the flu virus out of you, your immune system naturally turns off all those chemicals, and you feel better. Yeah. Same thing in the joint. That doctor removed all those germs by using tetracycline to kill them, and the inflammatory response went away, and the rheumatoid arthritis went away. So there's lots of evidence of this germ theory of inflammation. What we see in our clinic mostly is germs from the gut. What we were just talking about with that caller, you can get particles of food that aren't fully digested leaking across into the gut. Same thing, you get germs from the gut leaking across. And the immune system's, of course, going to react to that. So that's a source. I mean, there's studies that show, the blockages in your arteries, when they biopsy those and they look for bugs, they find bugs in those in the plaque in your arteries. Dental bacteria in particular, there's a huge association between poor dentition, poor gum, gum disease, and poor bad teeth, root canals, all these things, and heart disease. So that's this germ theory has a lot of valid support through many different studies. So sometimes we have to go in there and actually kill germs, kill bugs. But really what ultimately we need to do is just get your internal environment right. You know, I tell people it's kind of like a fish tank. You know, when you have algae build up, you get that green stuff on your inside of your fish tank. You can go in there and scrub brush it and brush all that algae off and but the next day it'll be right back.
Right back.
If your internal environment, if the environment of that fish tank, the pH, the oxygen content, the temperature, if all those get off, then it's a good environment for algae to grow.
Yeah.
But if you can get that environment just right, the pH right and the temperature right and the oxygen level right, the algae says, hey, I don't like this environment, I'm not going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to treat the terrain or the environment. Louis Pasteur said the germ is everything, or the germ is the source of all disease, where one of his contemporaries, Claude Bernard, who no one remembers, but Bernard said, no, it's not the germ. The germ is nothing. The terrain is everything. And right after he said that, was at a lecture in a room full of doctors, he drank a water bottle full of cholera to prove that the germ can't hurt me if my internal terrain's good. If my stomach acid's good, it's going to kill that bug. So we really focus long-term on healing the terrain, getting your oxygen level right, which goes to your CPAP, getting the pH right, which goes to your diet, getting your temperature right, which goes to your thyroid. So there's all this internal environment, terrain stuff we work on. Of course, we can kill bugs if need be.
Right.
But to get the cockroaches out of your kitchen, just take out all the garbage.
Take out the garbage.
Step on some cockroaches on your way, but ultimately it's the garbage that's got to be cleaned up. So we work on the terrain at our clinic, and most functional medicine doctors are terrain builders.
Great show, Dr. Edwards. This, I tell you, I enjoy sitting in getting to hear this because it's a lot of good information right there. Dr. Ben Edwards. Veritas Medical, integrative holistic medicine family practitioner. You've been there and done that, and all I got to do is give you a call at 806-771-1160. That's 771-1160. Get an appointment, get checked out, and get living the right way, I guess you might say. But it's, boy, a lot of good stuff there.
Thank you.
And our callers were good. Thanks for the callers.
Yeah, thanks for the callers. Enjoyed the show. Thanks for sitting in today, Jim.